Please rise for the versicles. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. I shall not die but live. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed, why are you here this morning at this early hour? This question was posed by an angel to a group of women in the morning of the first Easter. Their answer was that they were seeking Jesus of Nazareth. The women expected to find a dead Jesus, but instead found an empty tomb. They were told, "He is not here, he is risen." This morning, we seek the risen Lord. It is because of the Lord's resurrection that that we are here today. Not only does our worship depend on the resurrection, but I once read an article in which a pastor stated, justification, sanctification, baptism, communion, the inerrancy of scriptures, evangelism, fellowship, hope, worship, these are nothing more than wasted words and pointless activities unless Jesus died and rose again. Everything depends on the resurrection. It establishes our faith. It assures our forgiveness, and it guarantees our resurrection. Please rise to hear these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, the resurrection of Christ establishes our faith. Paul writes, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Repeatedly, in the book of Acts, and throughout Paul's letters, we see that the resurrection of the dead is at the center of his message and at the heart of the reason why he was put on trial. Let us examine the evidence in this case of Jesus' resurrection. There were only two or three witnesses required to establish a case under Jewish civil law, but the risen Christ was seen by over 500 brethren at once, as well as by the 12, by James and the other apostles, and finally by Paul on the road to Damascus. Those who denied the bodily resurrection of Christ make liars of all these witnesses, while they, nearly 2,000 years later, call themselves the truth tellers. Besides, they must also make the ancient prophets liars, who bore witness what God himself told them, that he would raise up his Messiah. The resurrection of Christ proves that Jesus is who he said he was, the Messiah, the Son of God, who indeed would suffer and die, but on the third day rise again. The resurrection establishes our faith. Jesus is not only hope for this life, for as Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. I knew a woman who went to church with my great-grandmother. Faithfully, she attended church week after week, but she did not believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So my great-grandmother asked her, why do you go to church? And she had to admit it was because she always had, and to see her friends. Have you at times looked to Jesus as only a hope for this life? Have you treated him as the world does, only as a moral teacher and example? So many quests for Jesus have led to a good man with good intentions who was defeated and executed. Is church only a social function for you? Can you live in a house whose foundation you have removed? There is not one single feature of Christianity that does not, in one way or another, rest upon the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What is your baptism if there is no living Christ to make you God's own child? What is every service in God's house if his name is only a name and he is not present to give you his blessings and receive your devotion? What is the sacrament of Christ's body and blood if he remained in the grave and his body is dust like that of other men? Take this away, and the entire church and all Christianity sinks into ruin. Secondly, the resurrection assures us of our forgiveness. Paul writes, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." To still be in your sins means to still be controlled by them, to be surrounded by them, and to be accused by them before God. Face your conscience, the multitude of your sins, and the damning sentence of the law. Then look into the dark chamber of the tomb. See the hand of death reaching out to lay you low. Then you will know what the Apostle Paul means with his triumphant exclamation, "Christ is risen from the dead." Christ's resurrection is the positive proof that his sacrifice was indeed sufficient and fully accepted as such by the Father. The resurrection is the Father's amen to Jesus' statement, "It is finished." Because of Christ's death and resurrection, God has declared the world righteous in his sight. As Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, "Jesus our Lord was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." The resurrection assures us of our forgiveness. If Christ is not risen, Paul says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In these crushing words, the Apostle Paul brings home to us what a denial of the resurrection really means. He who persists in denying the resurrection writes on every believer's tomb, "Lost or damned." Nothing more heartrending could be said. This would mean that the hereafter is shrouded in the darkest night, which has swallowed up those who have passed beyond and now awaits those of us whose life now is swiftly passing away. But the final verse of our text collapses all these false deductions that would be true if Christ has not been raised. With one declaration, they fall like a house of cards. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees our resurrection. Think of the last cliffhanger you either saw or read. The hero goes from one life-threatening situation to the next. If he gets caught in a bad guy's trap or gets seriously injured, we feel bad, but we don't give up. We know the hero will somehow pull through. And if we see that cliffhanger again, we know for sure how it will end up. In a much bigger way, we don't fear death or anything that leads up to it because we know how the story is going to end up. We know how the story will end up for us after we die. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Since we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it is easy for us to believe that Jesus will also wake us from the dead. Think of it as divine CPR. Someone collapses from a heart attack or drowns. What are we supposed to do? We start breathing into them, right? Without breath, all the heart pumping and drugs in the world will be do nothing to bring the person back. And if we don't get to the person within a few minutes, the lack of breath will quickly kill delicate organs like the brain and kidneys. But if we can get breath into the person quickly, we have a good chance of reviving them. God has a breath that revives a body that has been completely dissolved in the grave, or by fire or water. The Bible calls that breath the Holy Spirit. It is this living breath of God that stirred life from nothing back at the dawn of time. For most of us, the Spirit was first breathed into us at our baptism, when the renewal of the Holy Spirit was poured out on us. Not only that, but the scripture promises us, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees our resurrection. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Almighty God, through your only Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Save us from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.